Welcome to Voices from the Street, the radio ministry of the Sacramento Union Gospel Mission. Prepare your heart for laughter and tears as we share the unpolished stories of the homeless and hurting, hope and transformation. Here's your host, director of the Union Gospel Mission, Pastor Tim Lane.
You know what? I am glad you guys decided to join us today, and I wanted to let you know that, you know, a lot of times we can feel like the whole world is just going down the tubes. And of course, that's not the truth. Yes, the world is bent towards the flesh and the devil, and we see that everywhere we go. We see that it is not like it used to be. We look at television, we hear radio, we think about all the bad things we hear, and that the young, the creative, those people are all pushed in a direction far away from what we believe and the values that we hold. Well, that isn't true. I've got a young man here with me today that is working at the Union Gospel Mission. We hired him about a month ago. I hope that he is there many years after I am gone. But the bottom line comes down to that I see with this young man a whole difference. He's creative. He is artistic in the sense that with film and media, he is talented. He is a great photographer. He does all those things. And yet, he is traditional in the sense that he holds the Lord Jesus Christ as his sovereign, his Lord, his direction, and does not wish to stray outside of that which God has for his people. And so if you're here today and you're thinking to yourself, the younger generation is all lost. Well, every generation probably thought the younger generation was lost. And if I look at how I was when I was a kid, I can understand that. Because don't forget, I was that kid that grew up in the 60s and 70s. And you know what? My generation and the kids that I grew up with were pretty wild. So, Igor, I want you to say hello to our folks.
Hello, everyone.
So, I know we talked about it last week, but what church do you go to?
I go to City Bible Church in East Sacramento.
You've been going there for 8 years, right?
Yes, that's
ever
right.
Ever since they started, almost.
Second week.
All right. And how long have you known my friend Ben Ito?
Ben, basically since then, yeah, for about 8 years.
And so Vlad is there, and how well do you know him?
Yeah, Vlad, actually, he used to be a youth leader at one of the Slavic churches I actually grew up going to. So I've known him, I don't know, as far as I can remember. He was there. He's about 10 years older than I am. So
yeah, he's a young man. He's a good preacher. I've been to your church several times. And so Vlad, does he speak? You said he came from a Slavic church.
Mm-hmm.
And does he speak the language?
He can still speak the language, yes.
He has no accent. and he really is, he's a very nice man as mm-hmm. well. And I forgot the name of the newer pastor that came in.
Yes, that's Ty Nickelberry.
Yeah, Ty.
Yes.
And so he brought his family. He's been there for 2 years?
Mm-hmm. Just about a little over now. Yeah.
All right. And so a lot of stuff goes on at your church, huh?
Yes, it does. Yeah.
There's what, like 38 people there?
38. That would be an understatement.
Oh, I'm sorry. That was the church I served at. No, your church is pretty big.
Yeah, we're at about 650 or so members now.
You know, I think what I liked the first time I went, you guys, I saw people going by because you had shuttles going.
Shuttles, yes. Yeah, the famous City Bible shuttles. Those are, ask our neighbors, they love them.
Yeah. Oh. And, you know, if you see the shuttles, don't worry about the bars on the windows or the people screaming. It's all good. No. No, that's not true. Actually, it's really great because parking downtown is very difficult. Mm-hmm. And although it's not like downtown, it's just off the freeway, not very far. And so to be able to park and have to park quite a ways and then walk for 5 or 6 or 7 blocks, that would be difficult, especially if you happen to have a problem. And so it's just great that you guys do that. You have several shuttles, right?
We have two, yes.
Two.
Yeah.
And so they're running all morning long, right?
Yeah, they are.
All right. They take them to church. That's great. That's an excellent thing. You guys, somebody, and I don't even remember who it was, that went out to your church a few weeks ago. You had like 20-something baptisms or something, mm-hmm. I heard about.
Yeah, we try to split them up. But yeah, we've been having quite a few baptisms by God's grace.
Always by God's mm-hmm. grace. You know, you're not saved by the waters of baptism. However, I've told people, they've said to me, well, Pastor, I'm a believer, but I don't really want to get baptized. And I say, okay, well, you know, that's fine. You come to Jesus Christ, and the very first thing he tells you to do, you don't want to do. I said, that doesn't bode well for your relationship.
Not really.
So the waters of baptism, they mean a lot. In the days in the first century, the first church, to be baptized publicly meant you could lose your job, your family, your friends, and maybe even your life, right? Mm. And so there was a big deal to going into the waters of baptism, but it symbolizes the death, the burial, and the resurrection to the newness of life. And yes, I'm a Baptist, so we believe in full immersion. Mm-hmm. We get you all the way under the water. I used to tell people, they'd say, well, does it cost anything? And I'd tell them, no, it doesn't cost anything to be baptized. Now, the way I make my money is I hold you under, and those that don't like you will give me $1 for each minute. None of that's true, by the way. So how does it make you feel when you see a baptism?
Since being baptized myself, I have probably cried at every single baptism that I've witnessed.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, it's pure joy to be able to hear the testimonies of people who have believed in Jesus as their Savior, and then proclaim that, show that to everyone, their family, but also everyone at the church, to be able to show that they've been saved. It's a sweet time.
It is a sweet time, and it's a good time for us as pastors to be able to declare to the crowd exactly what we're doing, because a lot of times people being baptized have a lot of friends and family come that are not walking in the faith, mm-hmm. and they may not understand exactly what's going on. I was pastor of a church in Sheridan, California for years. And so, yes, Cassie, I'm going to talk about your boys again here for a minute. But one of the boys, they're both fine young men. And when they were little, I was convinced that they knew what they were talking about. And so I have no problem baptizing somebody young as long as I'm convinced they really know what it is that they're doing. And I've told this story many times at churches and everything else. One of the young men was kind of crying in the background. He was a great athlete at school and all these kind of things. I mean, he was a little kid, but his mom asked him what the problem was. He said, well, the pastor said that this represented my new life, and I kind of liked the old one, but he still wanted to do it. Wow. He was still willing to give up what he perceived as being the life he liked, to have the life in Christ. Mm-hmm. And isn't that how we should all approach it?
Absolutely.
So, yeah, and I got to baptize them. And guess what? I got an invitation in the mail the other day to his wedding.
Wow.
So as you get older and you look back, and some of those little guys that you baptized and talked to in Sunday school and all those kind of things, it's gratifying, huh?
Mm-hmm.
So,
I can imagine.
Nothing wrong with crying at a baptism. So, how did you meet your wife?
Oh, that's an interesting story. Yeah, so my wife, she was born in Fresno, raised in Fresno, and then when she was young, her father is actually a missionary in Italy. So, it took the whole family, well, you know, the ones that haven't been married off yet. So there was him, his wife, and his two daughters. They went over to Italy and lived there for about 6 years. Yeah, so they're also of a Slavic-speaking, you know, culture. So they would come back every now and then to visit the churches that support them, and some of those churches were in Sacramento. So at the time, I was attending one of those churches, and I got to see her come by and sing on stage a couple songs in English and Russian and Italian. And, you know, at the time, we had some mutual friends, didn't really think much of it. But as the years went by, I got to know, you know, her and her family, and yeah, just connected that way. So we did long distance for a little bit.
Her family are all believers as well, too.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, isn't that great when you come and you come together? Do you have other family, brothers, sisters?
Yeah. Yeah. So all of her siblings are in solid Bible believing churches, and all of my siblings, we actually all go to City Bible Church. So I have a brother and a sister, and my parents are believers. So I'm very, very grateful to the Lord for placing me in a family that not only believes in his word, but also upholds it as true, righteous, and good.
Yeah, you know, I'm sorry I was out of the mission when you brought your family by. I really would have liked to have been able to see your kids and your wife and everything. So, but hopefully over the next years or whatever, I'll get to meet them.
Yeah, they'll be coming by.
So, is there anything that drives you further in your desire of life than to uphold the gospel of Jesus Christ?
That drives me further than that? No.
I guess what I'm trying to say is, I believe that we need to have first and foremost everything in our lives and in our marriages and our families is Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And that needs to be our primary focus on everything. But when our primary focus is Jesus Christ, he directs our paths. Mm-hmm. And so our walk may not always be easy, but only a believer can understand a joy that goes beyond all understanding, right?
Absolutely. You know, these prior to getting hired at the mission, the past several months have been pretty difficult, you know, on myself and the family. Nothing uplifts the soul more than spending time around other believers that point you to Christ and studying about the sufficiency of Christ and exactly what he's done for us. Nothing brings you to a closer point of joy and satisfaction, nothing than what is found in Christ.
Absolutely. I 100% agree. And, you know, it's so amazing. There was an old man named Mordecai Ham who was a very deep believer and professor and all those kind of things. I don't know his whole story. But after speaking at a college one time, a bunch of guys asked him, well, how can we be saved? He said, or what can I do to be saved? And he said, nothing. It's too late. Well, that shocked him, and he walked away. And they said, no, really, we're serious. What can I do to be saved? He said, nothing. It's too late. So now, in a little bit of desperation, the young man asked one more time. He said, Professor Mordecai, or whatever that he was addressing him like, he said, really, I'm being serious with you. What can I do to be saved? He said, young man, I've already told you, there's nothing you can do. Christ has already done it. Mm. What you need to do is just come to him. Yeah. And isn't that true? We always want to try to work our way into heaven, and that never has worked. Mm-hmm. Right?
Amen. Yes.
So, As you walk down this journey, what kind of things are you looking forward to? I know that you've got plans to upgrade the missions, a lot of the video and the stuff that we're doing. And like I said, I really liked the last video that you did. And I think that you truly do have a heart that is geared towards making this mission even better and better known. I've always said we're really one of the best kept secrets in Sacramento. Mm. And the reality is, to your point, we do so much that people don't know. How would you try to start to get out? You know, most people, when they take a tour, they have no idea about food boxes and the senior things, the women's clothes closet. So how can we step up to the plate and kind of get that kick started again? You already thinking of ideas?
Yeah, I'm definitely thinking about it first from the perspective of myself in my own church, right? What can I do to share with the rest of my church everything that we do? And one of those ways that I'm hoping to accomplish is by creating content and media that shows what we do that's easily shareable. So being able to display that with the members at our church, whether that be at our members' meetings or even just sharing it through social media. I know I'm friends with, or I follow most of my friends at church. And so by me posting about the Union Gospel Mission, they're going to see it and be able to rejoice in what we do. And so that's one of the big ways that I think could you know, put us on the map, is the churches that are already involved in the Union Gospel, serving in Union Gospel Mission. We can all do a better job of really showing what we do. And I'm hoping that the video and the media accomplishes that.
Yeah, because the whole media world has changed so dramatically, even in the last couple of years, and it evolves exponentially. You know, when I was a boy, TVs went from black and white to color, which nobody, if you say, if you were to talk about a tube in a TV, they go, what are you talking about? And so there's a lot of bad things that have happened as we've moved down this path, but there's a whole lot of good things that have happened in way of communication, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so are you looking at ways to integrate to get older people interested too? And is that something that you have on your agenda?
Yeah, absolutely. There's different target audiences, and so it's a matter of what type of content reaches who. So there's different types of content that is shareable more among the younger generations, but then also the older generations. You know, people think they don't know how to use social media or anything, but they absolutely do. And so it's more of creating content that's geared towards being able to appreciate it from whatever life position you're in.
Oh yeah, I think it's always funny if you go into a convalescent hospital somewhere and it's got all these older people and you see the little hunched over person and they're typing on their phone, you know. So you're right.
Yeah,
it happens. And I think that it's important for us to understand, as the two different generations sitting here, that yes, it's extremely important to get in touch with the younger generation, but it's also important to realize that the older generation are who are the givers right now. Mm. And so there has to be not only a way to communicate and to get the word out to the younger people, but somehow also encourage them to become the donors that mm-hmm. myself or even the greatest generation before me, the people from World War II, my parents and stuff, that giving is something that needs to be done,
mm-hmm.
you know? And I think that there's where the breakoff is. I think older people give, but they don't know all that's going on. The younger people we need to reach with a new modern approach to things. But I'm not sure right now the vast majority of them have that mindset of giving.
Mm.
But it can be changed, right?
Absolutely.
And that's by information. And of course, who is it that we want to target? Is it people at rock concerts or is it young believers?
I would say it's young believers.
Because they have the heart for it.
Mm-hmm.
And you kind of keyed into it. You said that City Bible, and you said also that City Bible has a lot of Slavic people in it, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, and a lot of younger people, mm-hmm. correct? I mean, you have a pretty young congregation.
Yeah, I would say so, yeah.
I mean, there's some old people like me, but But there's a lot of young people there.
Yeah.
And so it's an opportunity then to cross over not only that age, but also the differences in maybe the social upbringing and the way that things are cross-culturally, right?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I would say it's a matter of being able to present the information, but also educating what to do with the information now.
Yep.
The call to action is probably the most important part that we're trying to emphasize in what we're creating. So it's really a matter of figuring that out and making sure that people see that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, knowledge is a great thing. Mm-hmm. I could go to school and learn everything there is about heart surgery, but if I don't know how to apply it, it doesn't matter.
Help.
And so it's kind of that same thing. And so I'm excited about the direction that you see for these things as well. Because the heart of everybody at the mission, I believe, I know it's the heart of every true pastor, is that we can reach people not just to build this Union Gospel Mission kingdom. That's not the point. The point is to reach people for Christ.
Mm.
And yes, we do the least, the lost, and the last. We feed the homeless and clothe them and house them and do all those things. And we have 24 men on our program that come to Bible study twice a day to learn about what God has to set them free from their addictions and from sin. We were all slaves to sin before Christ set us free. And so, but it's exciting to be able to share that in a new way, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're not changing the gospel, but you want to present it in a new way that younger people can see, right?
Absolutely. And that's, you know, I believe that's the most amazing part that the mission accomplishes is, I mean, Union Gospel Mission, right? The mission is not just to provide provisions for the homeless, but it's really to make Christ known. And I believe and I see that being done so well at the mission. And I know that if we show people that gets people excited, is knowing that God's word is being proclaimed, that Christ as King is being shown and being taught and changing lives. I don't know how anyone can not get up off the edge of their seat and just jump for joy.
Yeah,
you know?
I absolutely agree with that. I'm always excited to give a tour. Well, you went on a tour, I came. Mm-hmm. But I'm always excited because almost universally, the one thing that I hear is, I had no idea you guys did all this.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exciting, and always for the kingdom. Hey, we're down to 1 minute. I want you to, if there's anything you'd like to say in this closing minute, but I'd like to get your guarantee that in another 3 or 4 months, you'll come back on the show so we can see where you've evolved in this.
Lord willing, I'll be there.
Amen. So again, you go to City Bible, and so it's a great church, good people, and this young man is obviously a person sold to Christ and for the cause of Christ. And really, at the end of time, at the end of what we do, that's all we want to hear is, come on in, my good and faithful servant. Because all the rest of it is just fading away. So as always, my dear friends, may God hold you in the palm of his hand.
Been listening to Voices from the Street, the radio ministry of the Sacramento Union Gospel Mission. If your heart's been touched and you want to know more about the work of the mission, log on to UGMSAC.com, UGMSAC.com. To donate clothing, food, time, or financial help, call 916-447-3268, 916-447-3268. Thank you so much for listening. Join us again next week at the same time for Voices from the Street.